country. Down in Lubbock, Texas, Eddie Griffiths, farmer down there.
He had a snowstorm once a couple years ago.
Yeah, his cattle got lost, and they were running through the town and everything else. Boy, how things have changed. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Chuck.
Well, talking about snow, I don't think you guys got any snow down there, do you?
Not in a long while, Chuck. Not in many moons have we had a snow in this particular area.
How have you gotten any moisture? I know the last time we talked to you a couple months ago and it was really, really dry. Has it improved at all, any?
Not too much. We, I guess in between that time, we've had maybe half to three quarters of an inch, and that was probably about a month and a half back, and things have still been pretty dry and windy. Lots of dirt blowing and winds sustaining here in West Texas.
Are they getting into the field? I mean, a lot of cotton going in?
Cotton will not start going in probably till the first, second week of May. Right now, corn's starting to go into the ground, irrigation going, trying to get that crop established and germinated.
So what percent of your land down there is irrigated, Eddie?
Probably around 40-45% would be irrigated.
So what about the dry land there? Are they putting anything in there if it's this dry?
No, there won't be anything planted on dry land until we receive some moisture, and then for the guys that are planting cotton, they'll be looking at the insurance deadlines, and when those start coming up, they'll get that seed into the ground because you have to get it planted.
So before we get into some of that, let's talk about some of the winter wheat and stuff. Did any of that, is that still surviving? Is it as bad as what they're talking?
Yeah, there's winter wheat. I noticed this morning driving around checking things that starting to swath a lot of it, you know, on the irrigate, because pretty much it's going to be irrigated wheat. There might be a little bit of dry land, but for the most part, it'll be irrigated wheat, and they are swathing that wheat and going to put it into bales.
Just not enough there? Got too hot?
Just too dry. Okay. I mean, not enough moisture for the wheat to do just a whole lot. And it's at the soft dough stage, and probably figure they're better off just to go ahead and bale it and get their money out of it.
So how are you doing with the cattle down there as far as feed goes? Are they going to be able to have enough grazing down there?
Yeah, the cattle should still be all right. I mean, you know, predominantly in this area, stockers that are run during the wintertime, they're going to be on irrigated acres, so those pivots have been running. That's probably cutting into the bottom line because irrigation is not cheap. You know, it's not cheap to irrigate in this area, but to be able to keep cattle on pasture and keep those crops growing, you got to keep the water going. But as far as the rangeland or the grass is concerned, there's still grass. You know, we had moisture last year, and guys been good with rotation, moving around on that grass. And if we can start getting some type of moisture in the next month or so, then that'll get it established, and things should still be good for those operators.
So what kind of grass are you talking about, Eddie, that you have in your pastures and the ranges out there?
You have a little bit of everything. I mean, CRP, you'll have certain types of grasses out there, different mixtures, but the range will have a little bit of everything out there, including stuff that you really do not want that the guys try to control and take care of, like mesquite and things like that. But the grass, it can be a mixture of a lot of things.
I know I was seeing an article that came out from Oklahoma that they're asking for hay, but you guys aren't at that stage, or is the panhandle a little drier than that?
No, I mean, I think we're probably still in the same shape, but we have a lot of hay in this area, a lot of hay from the summer. You know, it's kind of ironic because you think there was so much hay and almost to the point where guys are ready to almost give it away, but then you get into a situation like this, and you can pretty much ask your price, what you want for that hay, and get rid of it now.
So has this been about a six-month drought, or has it been longer than that?
When we got the rain, I'm trying to remember, Chuck, I believe we were at like 111 days without substantial rainfall.
Wow.
And, you know, half inch, three quarters of an inch. I don't know if that justifies us. I mean, it's better than nothing, but substantial rainfall. We need a whole lot more than that for to build up that moisture profile up out in the fields. Now, there was west of my location, I think there were places out there that got close to an inch and a half, and that's a good start, but it's going to take a lot more than that to try to build up that profile as these crops start getting planted and germination starts. We're going to need that plus more rain to keep them established through the southern months, because, you know, when you're looking at 55 to 60% of the acres in this area being dry land, they rely on Mother Nature to subsidize them to get them through the summer months.
As far as corn acres, are you seeing an increase again in cotton acres this year?
I think that you'll definitely see more cotton acres this year. Probably sorghum, milo, those acres are going to drop again. It's just, you can't justify growing a sorghum or milo crop with the advent of the sugarcane aphid, and prices on that crop aren't great. Corn acres will be steady. There won't be an increase in corn acres, but there will be an increase in cotton acres. I mean, when you look at the insured price, a year ago we were 66 cents. I think this year we're closer to that 73 cent mark. So, you know, that's where the money's at. That's where the most coverage is going to be. And producers and their lenders, that's what they look at. That's what makes it cash flow. That's what they're going to plant.
Well, I even heard down in Kansas, they're increasing it quite a bit in cotton acres. So, good to give you a little competition.
The varieties they have now, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you would have thought they were crazy trying to grow cotton in Kansas or much further north than Amarillo. But there's a gin not far from Amarillo in Moore County. And that gin's still running. I mean, they're going to break the record for how much cotton that they've ever ginned, and they had really good crops up in that area. But, yeah, they're going to be going into planting, and the gin's still going to be running. But, you know, with the varieties and the earliness now, it's possible that, yeah, they can grow cotton in Kansas.
Are there any concerns, Eddie, that they might limit some water if it stays dry as far as the irrigation? I know there's probably some limitations already. Think any more?
Yeah, it's always going to be a concern. I mean, when you get into a drought-type situation like this, that's whenever it starts bringing up the questions. And, you know, it's up to our water district to be able to visit with the producers and also with the consumers out there and come up with resolution on that. You know, we want for everybody to still be able to have water, and I think that the plans that we've come up with the past 5 years, I think it's been working. Guys are not wasting water, not causing any kind of riffle with those out there that aren't involved in production agriculture.
Well, it's hard for us to imagine that somebody's hot, dry, and windy. I can imagine the wind because we get that up here, but we're sitting with frozen soil, snow, and everything else, so... Eddie, I got to go, but good luck. I hope you get some moisture.
Chuck, good to talk to you. I hope to talk to you again soon.
You bet. And that's Eddie Griffiths down in Lubbock.